Hello
Hello
there.
there.
Welcome back to Star Wars in a Galaxy. Watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. As always, I'm Jacob.
I'm Eli.
And today we're coming at you with a special episode while we bide our time waiting for season two of the Bad Batch to wrap up. We finished our season one watch through. We're waiting to do our rewatch of season two. And today we have a character appreciation day for everyone's favorite sassy 3 foot tall astromech droid. That's right. We're doing R2-D2.
Yep, absolutely. We are doing R2-D2 Character Appreciation Day. We've done, who have we done so far? I remember we did Mon Mothma around Andor releasing. I know we did my brief one about OG for my birthday. I feel like we did one before that. Did we do Ahsoka? Is that who we did?
We did Ahsoka and we did Obi-Wan way back in
Obi-Wan is the
2020,
first one we
way
did.
back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That was
That was probably before
I
Kenobi.
actually
Like we should redo that one after Kenobi, because probably all of his best moments would be from Kenobi.
Yeah. I actually remember that episode in particular because my family had just adopted a puppy that day, and we were driving back from adopting this puppy way out. It was far away where we the place from where we live. And I remember I was trying to do my research on the way back, simultaneously trying to
Wrangle
wrangle
a
a
puppy.
very
Yeah.
hyperactive puppy who had never been in
That's
a
funny.
car before and was kind of
Oof.
freaking out. So that was
Oof.
fun. That
That
was a lot of
that
fun.
does sound fun. Yeah. But let's get into this. R2-D2, everybody's favorite astromech droid. By the way, we were doing this. Jacob recommended this one to me specifically because we just finished our season 12 in a galaxy on droids. And we chose R2 instead of C-3PO for a specific reason, which is that I did a theme between themes with a C-3PO about a year and a half ago with Marie Wilson. That's a fantastic episode, but I feel like that almost acts as a character appreciation day for him. So I kind of just didn't want to redo it. So we went with R2, everybody's favorite astronaut. Let's see, I forgot the order in which we do things. We do five fun facts first.
Yeah, fun facts.
All
Yeah,
right, you want to
so.
go first on this one?
Yeah, so this was a maybe well known to some, but to me, when I was doing some research, digging around, and I was actually kind of surprised. So obviously, R2-D2 and C-3PO as the sole witnesses to Anakin and Padme's marriage in Attack of the Clones, they're of great importance to the
But
couple.
besides
And
that other
Pad,
guy,
pardon?
besides
Yeah, and
the
that
guy
other
who
guy
married them,
who,
yeah, who
yeah,
married them.
sorry, that who we never learn his name and we never
I
see him
think he
again.
does have a name, though.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Possibly.
Jeffrey Allerton.
No, you're good. So Padme actually gifted R2-D2 to Anakin as a wedding gift. I found this very interesting for a long time. I never thought to ask how R2-D2 actually changed hands from being part of Padme's entourage to being Anakin's trusty sidekick throughout the Clone Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. My first one, let's see. Oh yeah, this is cool. So this is a recent one too. This is really interesting. Christine Gailey is the name of the woman who operated R2-D2 for the Book of Boba Fett. She is the first woman ever to operate R2-D2.
Really?
Yeah, Kenny Baker for original trilogy, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Force Awakens, Jimmy V for the sequel trilogy, Hassan Taj, also for Rise. But she is the first ever female operator of R2-D2, and she did it for the Book of Boba Fett, which I thought was cool.
Very cool. I did not know that. All right.
Go ahead with
In
your
the
number
Empire
two.
Strikes Back, Yoda infamously beats R2-D2 with a stick.
His
However,
stick.
from a certain point of view, The Empire Strikes Back from a certain point of view, the book, it is actually revealed that Yoda actually did, in fact, recognize and remember R2-D2, since, of course, they went on adventures together in season six of the Clone Wars, and his kind of feigned ignorance was obviously just a part of him testing Luke Skywalker's patience.
That's very funny. This one I like it because of the most recent episodes of The Mandalorian. So you obviously, everybody's all obviously all now like becoming stans of R5-D4, because now he's accompanying Mando everywhere. But let's go back to the original incident with R5-D4. Droid's got a bad motivator. Now in Legends, I'm sure some of you remember Skippy the Jedi droid, who was R5's Tales Star Wars Tails' name. It was Legends, even for Legends. Basically, Skippy Jedi the droid. Skippy the Jedi droid was a Force-sensitive droid who felt the weight of the consequences of his action of R2-D2 and all that kind of stuff through the Force, and decided to self-combust there, sacrificing himself for R2-D2. Which is really strange.
Yeah, I wonder what the conversation was like to come up with that.
But in from a certain point of view, A New Hope, Ray Carson wrote a story called The Red One. And it is a weird but very poignant adaptation where basically, instead of feeling it through the Force, R5-D4, of course, because droids aren't, is not Force sensitive. And R2 just basically strong arms him into basically like, look, I need to go with this guy. I need to find Obi-Wan Kenobi. And R5 busts the motivator and sacrifices himself and basically saves the galaxy.
Yeah, droid society. Look at that.
So R2 Great convinced R5-D4 to bust his motivator to save the galaxy.
Wow. What a sacrifice. Right. That's quite, you really got to have some serious interdroid skills to convince another droid, hey, you should blow yourself up so that I can get bought instead. That's crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, one fact that I think is kind of cool. It's often overlooked. In season one of the Clone Wars, R2-D2 actually almost meets an untimely end. He's scavenged from a space battle in the episode Downfall of a Droid, I believe, and he's completely dismantled by a scavenger on General Grievous's payroll looking for Republic military secrets. Got but luckily, out. Anakin actually does rescue him before he can be irreparably damaged, which I think it's kind of insane that he literally is like in the scene, you literally see him laid out, all his parts kind of laid out on a table.
I remember that. Yeah, I prefer and to somehow, forget that. And somehow those episodes, he doesn't. But
yeah, they're not. I don't know. They're not some of the, you know, with Goldie and everything. You know, I don't think we were big fans of those.
No, when we watched, I'm not. I'm still not. I'm still questioning those episodes.
The third moment, one nevertheless.
Is a fun fact about a. My third one is a fun fact about a fun fact. Did you know that Real 2 Dialogue 2 is a myth?
What?
Real 2 Dialogue 2, which is
Real 2 Dialogue 2 is a myth.
How George Lucas got R2's name is a myth.
Okay, for people who don't know, Eli, can you explain what Real 2 Dialogue 2 is?
So Lucas was doing some post-production editing for his film THX 1138-4EB Electronic Labyrinth, and he asked an editor to pass him Real 2 Dialogue 2, but in shorthand he called it R2-D2. And he was like, yeah, I should use that for a character. Now, according to the book, I forget what it's called. According to the book, I believe it's called like Star Wars. This is according to his Legends Wikipedia page. According to, I think it's Behind the Magic. Yeah. According to a trivia question in Star Wars Behind the Magic, the Real 2 Dialogue 2 explanation is just a tale. Lucas himself corrected it in Star Wars The Annotated Screenplays and revealed the character's name was created by repeating common phonetic sounds until he discovered one he enjoyed.
No
Real
kidding.
Real 2 Dialogue 2 is not true.
That story is everywhere. That story
I know.
Is really everywhere.
That's really
surprising.
Honestly, if you clicked on this show, you probably expected one of our first facts to be that. No. Not true. Tall tale. Legend.
No kidding.
This is George Lucas' Legends.
That's really surprising.
As opposed to George Lucas' canon.
I mean, there's a lot of those stories floating around. I can't remember. I was watching some interview with Mark Hamill talks about he's always having to, you know, come out and say this, that, and the other isn't true. So I'm not surprised that there's stuff
Real
like this floating around. But
Real 2 Dialogue 2 is
given awesome. given its prevalence. When I was researching for this, even every single listicle that I started with.
Oh, I'm sure.
Had like Real 2 Dialogue 2 on there, I'm glad I didn't pick that because I actually didn't. I had no idea that was a myth.
I was scrolling through the Wikipedia page and I'm like, oh wait, what?
Yeah, look at that. Okay. In a few early drafts of Star Wars, R2-D2 actually spoke rather than spouting his signature electronic chips and warbles we know him for today.
That's a good one. I didn't know
this,
that one.
This
I
is actually.
About it.
No, there's not a, I couldn't find a ton of, of, of I couldn't find a ton of information to corroborate if this part is actually true, but this is there are sources that do contend that this is the reason that C-3PO always scolds R2-D2 to watch his language, and that it's a holdover from the fact that in some early versions R2-D2 actually was like very foul mouthed.
Well, I remember seeing a graphic,
I guess, cussing
of it
out
online, I think it was, where R2 says, "You're a mindless, useless philosopher." And then 3PO responds with the line that we know he responds to in A New Hope: "Don't call me a mindless philosopher, you useless gob of griefs."
Well, there you go. Yeah, there's definitely holdovers then. Look at that. Well, I think it's good. It would be very strange if R2-D2, that would be, I don't know. Maybe it's just because we're so used to R2 the way he is, but I think that would be really weird.
Absolutely.
I think that would be really freaking weird.
My fourth one, R2-D2 is quote-unquote alive. Alive and well in the Legends continuity, serving Cade Skywalker over 130 years after the Battle of Yavin, the Legacy series.
Wow.
I don't think we even see 3PO in there. I think Cade, like, I remember specifically reading it, I remember Cade digs up R2, or like digs up like a rusty, like the rusty R2-D2. He's literally the longest living member of the Skywalker clan, and it's not even close.
I read some of that comic.
It's fantastic.
I read the whole thing,
so
but
much.
I didn't see.
It's one of my favorite.
It's a very interesting comic.
It's one of my favorite legend stories. Highly recommend. All
Fair
right.
Enough, yeah. It
What's
is
your
quicker.
Fact number five?
Fact number five, perhaps the most interesting one. It's an interview. It's on the Star Wars YouTube channel. It's on YouTube. But Ben Burtt actually says that it was a real challenge to develop the sounds for R2-D2 because it was hard to make them have enough character and personality. And his solution was actually recording himself making baby noises, like random baby noises, and then using a synthesizer and electronic help to turn those into robot noises. I think that's pretty cool, and might help explain why R2-D2 is so appealing as a character, because a lot of those robot noises actually started as human noises.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think Ben Schwartz and Bill Hader actually did a similar process with BB-8 actually.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
Mine's also from the Star Wars YouTube channel, though wildly different. The cast and crew of Attack of the Clones created a 20-minute mockumentary entitled R2-D2 Beneath the Dome. The short film is a tongue-in-cheek look at the life of R2-D2, born Reginald Dilmingham, as he found fame, spiraled into depression, and had his career reinvigorated when invited to star in The Phantom Menace. This mockumentary is posted in three parts on the Star Wars YouTube channel. I don't think I've watched it in full, but it takes itself completely seriously, and it's totally ridiculous.
How have I never heard about this before? That sounds
It's very obscure.
Amazing.
It's
what?
From years and years ago. It's from like the behind the scenes material on the Attack of the Clones DVD. That's
that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. So
that's absolutely hilarious. I love that.
Beneath the Dome. I'll put the links for Beneath the Dome in the description of this podcast and people can check it out. I forget exactly how long each, I think each of them is shorter than 10 minutes. So I think, they're shorter than half an hour put together. I don't know exactly how long it is, but it's supposed to be very funny. I haven't actually seen them all from. I feel like I might have watched them a while ago, but I don't know. Usually here we would have our best portrayal, but R2-D2 is an astromech droid, and frankly, we didn't think we could do a good job of that.
Yeah, and we just watched a show where R2-D2 is credited as himself, somewhat inexplicably. So yeah, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, best piece of media, go.
So my best piece of media for R2-D2 is the Clone Wars. I think that in the Clone Wars, he has a lot of great
moments.
Well,
you gotta be more specific
This is where
than
we
that.
Really. You got? Do I gotta be more specific?
Oh
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I chose. Even I chose a specific
I thought you meant,
episode.
Is that not what you meant? You meant a specific episode.
I said specific.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like it was. If it was a movie, then that would have been fine. But like.
Oh, I misunderstood. Okay, I misunderstood the prompt.
Or
I misunderstood the prompt. Okay, let's see. I'm gonna go with. I'm going to go with, can I choose an arc?
You can choose an arc, yeah.
I'm going to go with the D-Squad arc.
Ah, very good choice.
I think the R2-D2, obviously, it's a droid-centric arc. He really shines. It's just, excuse me, just him. I can never remember if it's R2-KT or QT-KT,
I
because both
believe
those droids
it's
do exist.
QTKT in T Squad. I think
Okay, so it's
R2KT is earlier.
R2, it's QT, it's some other astromech droids, and it's Meeber Gaskin, and it's the
Yeah.
pit droid. What's his
Whack.
name? And it's WAC-47. Yeah. And
I am not a mech. I am a whack.
there's something about this arc. It is like, it's like a fever dream. It's a George Lucas acid trip fever dream, but it's also really, really strangely delight. And R2-D2 plays no small part in that.
I think the first episode is a decent beginning. I think the second episode is one of the best episodes of Star Wars television I've ever seen. I feel like the third episode makes me cry every time, and I think the fourth is very underwhelming.
It's the
That's
one,
just
which
me
is the
though.
one where they're just, which is the one, the sunny day in the void, right? The
Yeah,
one where
that's
they're
the second
literally
one.
just,
Yeah.
that's the one where they're
Walking
literally
around.
just wandering around in the desert for an
Contemplate
entire
life's
episode.
mysteries. Yeah. It's
Yeah.
fantastic. I love it so much.
That one's hilarious. And R2-D2 in that. Yeah. I think
Yeah.
that, yeah, we just get to see him breathe and shine as a character.
Yeah.
He's all, because he's always kind of, you know, he's always in the background, not in the background, but, you know, he's always kind of, he's got his role to play, you know, in the episode. He whips out the jets. He whips out his robot finger that he sticks into every computer and magically fixes. You know. So it's fun to see him
Everything,
kind
yeah.
of. It's fun to see him outside of that. It kind of, I think, for me, holds the same appeal as the droids show that we just watched, I think, where you get to see him kind of outside of the normal.
Speaking of goofy droid stuff, my favorite piece of media for R2-D2, surprising probably no one, honestly, is one of the greatest episodes of animated Star Wars television ever to exist, and that is Nomad Droids, where C-3PO and R2-D2 basically do an episode of Droids in the Clone Wars. C-3PO pushes R2 over, and he kills a monarch. Then R2 collapses a dictatorship. Then he engages in illegal droid fighting. Then he's captured by the Separatists. Then he's returned to the Republic. All in one
Crazy.
episode. It's
Insane
fantastic. I
stuff.
love it.
Insane
It's so
stuff.
crazy and I love it. It's so stupid and I love the shit out of it. I really do. It's so dumb and I love it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Not my favorite arc, but I mean,
Star Wars The Clone Wars on
you know,
crack, baby.
R2's got range. R2's got range,
Yeah.
man.
R2's got range. Okay, three best allies. All right, you go with your number
Ooh.
three, then we'll go back and forth like we
Number
do.
three, we say Luke Skywalker is my number three. I think they make a really great duo. You know, he helps Luke through the Empire Strikes Back, through Empire Strikes Back, through Dagobah. You know, obviously they reunite in Return of the Jedi. R2 really obviously helps Luke save the day, rescuing Han. Yeah, I just think, you know, when I think of R2, one of the first people I think of, despite all his appearances, how much the Clone Wars, I still, one of the first people I think of is still Luke.
Mine is Leia. Mine's Leia Organa. He R2
Oh,
is literally
good
there for
choice.
the beginning and end of Leia's life. You
True.
know, there's the iconic shot from A New Hope. Leia's constantly carrying R2 around as well. You know, Leia was the one, at least in the original trilogy, who got R2 into the action, who started all this, and she has a special connection with that little droid. And you know, that droid stayed beside her while she passed away into the Force. So, you know. Go ahead with your number two then.
My number two, Anakin Skywalker. Throughout the Clone Wars, R2-D2 and Anakin Skywalker, I thought they were the perfect pair, perfect companions. They matched each other seamlessly. You know, they're both in their own way. In their own way, they're really mavericks. They really like to break the mold in terms of what they're supposed to do. You know, they could care less if they ruffle a lot of feathers, but they're really good. They're really good at what they do. Obviously, Anakin, you know, chopping things with his lightsaber, performing crazy feats. R2, you know, being the most competent, mind-blowingly influential astromech droid since ever in this story. So yeah, I think that obviously they're a great combo, and it's really cool to kind of, you know, loop that back and see, you know, R2 is, he knows the father, he knows the son. And he knows the daughter too, with Leia, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I had actually have Anakin on my list. I had Luke as my number two. A lot of the things you said before, you know, I feel like Luke and R2 is the most iconic human droid pairing to me. Probably closely followed by Rey and BB-8 now. But you know, like R2's there on Dagobah. Like you know, Mark Hamill had to act opposite a puppet and like a robot for like basically a third of The Empire Strikes Back. And that was just how it was. Luke and R2 were in the X-Wing that blew up the Death Star and blah, blah, blah. They have a storied history together. They've actually been together the longest of any Skywalker with any one of the main heroes. I'm not counting Leia with this one. Actually, even if we do count Leia, we can make the argument that because Leia, I think, like, really, I feel like she passed him into Luke's ownership around the time of Empire. And I think she had ownership of him for max, like, maybe 10, 15 years before that. Yeah. Anakin had ownership of R2, as we know, for only about 3 years, actually, because Padme gifted it to him, as you so correctly pointed out. Rey, only about a year. Luke, I think, from what we know, is a bit more than a quarter century, because he gets him in zero. Or even if you want to say Luke got him in Empire, he only abandons R2 when he goes into exile. And that's 25 years right there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And what happens when Luke goes into exile? R2 shuts down. So, what did you have? Do we just want to say our best ally at the same time? Because I feel like we might have the same one. One.
It's everyone's
two,
favorite.
Three. C-3PO.
C-3PO. Everyone's favorite sassy golden boy. Golden
How
boy
could
himself.
We not, frankly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether you think it's a bromance or a romance.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly, man, these two. I mean,
I just think some of the best dialogue in Star Wars ever written by George Lucas is for those droids. Like, listen to that. I'm going to just do a quick reenactment, if you don't mind. This is, like, maybe some of my favorite dialogue of, like, ever. So keep in mind, we just heard that the Empire is building a second Death Star, okay?
Okay.
They're building a second one. Of course I'm worried, and you should be too. Lando Calrissian and poor Chewbacca never returned from this awful place. Don't be so sure. If I told you the things I heard about this Jabba the Hutt, you'd probably short-circuit. R2, are you sure this is the right place? I better knock, I suppose. There doesn't seem to be anyone here. Let's go back and tell Master Luke. Good one, Pinky. Goodness gracious me. R2-day-ter. A tuta Mishka Jabadu Hut. I don't think they're going to let us in, R2. We better go. R2, wait! Oh dear, R2, I really don't think we should rush into all this. Oh, R2, wait for me! Just you deliver Master Luke's message and get us out of here. Oh my. Oh no. You know, obviously I didn't include R2's lines in there, but like you could just imagine him strolling up to the palace, and like that sequence is maybe, I think, one of my favorite things, because we got all like Empire Strikes Back ends on a dark note, and then we get like a very dark opening scene for Return of the Jedi. And they're like, okay, so anyway, we're gonna get a goofy scene of these two droids walking along.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the hell are you doing? Situation is so dire. They're like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, and I think the fact that the fact that you say R2-D2 and C-3PO are responsible for some of the most fun dialogue written in Star Wars, despite the fact that one half of this duo can't even speak. We don't even know what he's saying. And still, I think that just...
We just have to assume what he's saying. Yeah.
I think that really underlines just something about C-3PO and R2-D2. They tap into, you know, we've all got someone where we're the C-3PO or the R2-D2 someone else's, you know, like,
yeah,
it I don't know, it just taps into something, and I find it's just, I don't know, it's endlessly appealing, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, So we did best allies. Let's go to the flip side. Of course, best enemies.
Best
I'm
enemies.
interested because this one isn't so cut and dry like the last one, because R2 doesn't really have a lot of like one-on-one enemies, and I'm really interested to see where you go with this.
Yeah, it's not cut and dry at all. Number three. Now, I didn't put these in order, so I'm kind of thinking off the
Okay.
cuff here. Number three, I'm gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna say General Grievous, because it
Interesting.
through the Clone Wars, we see R2-D2 go from almost being dismantled by him to helping Obi-Wan and Anakin escape from him with this audacious maneuver when they're captured on the invisible
The
hand,
smoke screen, yeah.
the smoke screen. So I think R2-D2, all in all, I think he has a pretty good he take he gets a little bit of his own back for sure.
Yeah.
He gets some of his own
I
back
have one of
against
those
General
like General
Grievous.
Grievous later for you. I have like one of those like it's kind of indirect, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
I like where you're
I mean,
going with that.
all three of mine are kind of indirect in
I
one way
feel
or
like two of
another.
mine are pretty direct. The third one of mine is Otto, who's the fucking super tactical droid at the end of the D-Squad arc that they shut down. He took
I missed,
control.
yeah.
He was the one who took control of the ghost ship, and they shut that motherfucker down. And R2-D2, like, absolutely, I feel like it's R2-D2 absolutely just like fucking like slaps him to the ground. No, wait, that's in Secret Weapons, or maybe that might honestly be the same thing. Anyway, R2 against Otto, the super tactical droid. I wanted to include that one in, because that's one of the places my mind went first. Number two for you.
Yeah, I missed Otto, but I'm gonna honor my list nonetheless. Jabba the Hutt,
Oh my
R2-D2.
God.
Because
My number two was
R2-D2,
Jabba the Hutt.
obviously we've got R2-D2 and Jabba the Hutt. They go way back. They go way back to the Clone Wars movie. Obviously,
They go back
R2-D2
before that.
rocking with Anakin. When do they go? They really? Oh, of
I mean, they didn't
course. Yeah,
interact, but like,
they didn't interact, but like they go
but they
back
were
far
in the
enough. We
same
get
place at the
Eve.
same time in the
Yeah, they're
Phantom
in the same
Menace.
place at the same time. They probably see each other. I can't remember the specifics, but obviously, R2-D2, he's rocking with Ahsoka. He's rocking with Anakin
Yeah.
as a
And I just think like, I don't know, we obviously don't know about R2-D2's inner thoughts, but like, I can only like the Clone Wars puts R2's perspective in a lot of like R2's like role in a lot of perspective for me, because like I can only imagine when he saw Leia enslaved by Jabba, he got not only flashbacks to other times he dealt with Jabba, but Anakin was a slave. And
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I was and I he does the he basically executes the whole maneuver to save them from Jabba. He bolts the saber up into the air, does and then Luke does like 16,000 flips and gets the lightsaber. What a
He
drama
is
king.
pivotal. He is
Yeah,
pivotal
cuts Leia's
in the tank.
chains. It helps Luke avoid the Death Star shots. Obviously, that's not relevant to here, but like he's pivotal. He's pivotal to basically the destruction of the sail barge. Also, he
Yeah,
looks pretty neat serving drinks.
he is pivotal to taking down one of, if not the most notorious organized crime boss in on Tatooine, possibly,
In the
all of the
galaxy,
Star Wars
probably.
story in the galaxy, probably, Hutt
Yeah.
space. So yeah, that
Yeah.
pretty not bad for an astromech. Not
So
bad for
what
an
we're saying
astromech.
is we have R2-D2 to blame for the Book of Boba Fett. Like,
We have R2 to blame for a lot of things.
yeah, but the Book of
Yes.
Boba Fett is
R2
one
to
of
blame
them.
for the Book of Boba Fett.
That's
Yes,
fantastic. I love that.
we have R2 to thank for the Book of Boba Fett.
That's great.
Okay.
My number two was
Your number
Jabba's,
who goes
though.
first? You go first?
My number
Okay.
two was Jabba. Go ahead with your number one.
Okay, this is an unorthodox pick. Okay, just hear me out. Just hear me out. Just hear me out. Throughout Star Wars, we know how astromechs are. We know how they get. Look, who? No one wants to take down an astromech more than another astromech. My number one enemy for R2-D2 is Chopper.
Oh my God.
Look, I
You
know it's a
had
good.
it right
Look,
there, man. You
hear
had it
me out.
right there with your number one, and then you still missed it.
No, hear me out. Hear me out.
No,
Look, I know they're
can I
not
just tell
technically.
you who my number one
Okay, okay,
is?
okay. Yeah. Tell me who your number one is.
R3S6. R2's literal replacement in that very same arc you were talking about not 15 minutes ago. That battle
yeah, but
between
Eli, like
them
we said.
On the Rusun Bridge is basically Droid Duel of the Fates. I might not like those episodes, but even I gotta admit, R3S6 is dark side R2-D2.
Okay,
That's what
fair
she
point.
is.
That is a fair point. Goldie, look. Yes, I may have made an oversight, but I also have my re I stand I have my reasons for Chopper. Look,
I'm not saying Chopper was a terrible choice, but number one, really?
Two of the most what happens when you take what happens when you take the two most notorious, ruthless, sassy, spunky, 2-foot-tall garbage cans in the entire galaxy and put them in the same people mover shuttle? You get a great showdown. I'll tell you that much. Look, and I think they would have duked it out. They would have really duked it out. They would have really had it out if it weren't for the rebels, you know, keeping them apart. And it is in season one of Rebels when they
droids in distress.
When they meet in droids in distress. Look, yes, maybe the better pick. Maybe the better pick if we're really looking at maybe it is R3S6 we're really looking here. But I mean, come on. What's not to love? I think it's a great moment. I love
I mean,
Chopper.
I get it.
I love
no, I'm not
R2.
saying like I'm not saying it's a terrible pick. I just like I felt like for me, like R3S6 was the first person I thought of for best enemy. But the first droid I thought of for best enemy.
I just love when like two characters that you both two character I just love I'm kind of a sucker for moments when two characters who we know and love both of them and they have beef. I'm just a sucker for moments like those, especially when it's someone like C-3PO and or not Chopper,
C-110. Chopper and
P.
R2-D2. C-110.
Chopper and
P,
R2-D2, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. But
I will
okay,
say good
tell
picks,
us about
though.
R3S6, because that's an amazing deep cut.
Well, I basically said it all. He is the replacement, and then basically in all the ways R2 helps Anakin, R3 sabotages. It's basically that entire, at least the duel of the droids at the very beginning, and maybe a bit of downfall of a droid at the end, is basically the reverse of R2. Any situation that R2 would save the day for Anakin in, R3 makes it worse. And we will later find out that she's a separatist, and that's, I don't know how she got into, like, I don't know how she infiltrated the ranks of the Republic so well, but kudos, honestly. And then R2-D2 yeets her into the void on Rusan in Duel of the Fates-esque sequence, but for droids. And that is, I will admit to you, that is the one good part of that arc. That is the one part of the arc I like, is the duel of, is literally the duel of the droids, literally the droids duel of the fates. And then of course, R2 yeets R3 into the void and she gets crushed, which she deserves.
Yeah, a fitting end. Good riddance, Goldie. Good riddance. What else do we have?
All right, so five best moments.
Best moments. Best moments.
All right,
let's do it.
Go number
yeah.
five.
All right, one of my five best moments is when R2-D2, season 2 finale of Mando, Luke rolls in, R2-D2 rolls into meeting Grogu, being a part of Luke's rescue. I just think it's an amazing moment. It's an iconic moment, and it's just made a little bit better emotionally by seeing R2-D2 still there,
that's
still
a good
along
one
for the ride, still
that's
contributing.
That's honestly a really good one, and I did not have that on my list. Good
Thank
job.
You.
I actually don't even have any from The Mandalorian, but like the latest one I have was a few years before The Mandalorian. But let's not talk about The Mandalorian. Let's talk about droids. Number five on my list. R2 and 3PO take a bath together in the Pirates of Tarnunga.
And I didn't include anything from droids because I was worried about, you know, Legends canon, but I really should have because, yeah, R2-D2 and C-3PO
R2 and 3PO
taking a bath.
Taking a bath in droids is just so wholesome and funny. It's just, I
with
couldn't
bath
not,
toys.
Honestly. Yeah, I just couldn't not.
With the rubber duck, like, yeah. No,
with the
it's,
rubber,
it's,
like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it melts my heart. It really melts my heart.
It's so funny. It's so ridiculous. And it's so, that's my only droids moment on there. But yeah, it's
dangerously wholesome.
Yes, yes, it is. All
right,
go ahead, number 4.
My next moment. I've said this already, but helping Luke rescue Han and Leia. Obviously for R2-D2, he's the only one who knows Luke's whole plan. He
oh,
risks, he
yeah.
puts himself in danger. at risk, sliding in Jabba's palace, helping set up the rescue. He ends up leading to the takedown of Jabba the Hutt. I mean, what's not to love? Really, what's
It's
not to
funny
love?
because you're saying all these great moments, and I've so far had none of them on my list. So,
Really? I'm
yeah.
surprised. I'm actually surprised that one is not on your list because for me,
I
that's a
am
pretty
too,
big one.
honestly. No, it absolutely 100%. Number four for me, I called R2 and 3PO's Puntastic Adventure. The scenes where they're wandering around during the first battle of Geonosis,
Oh, of
where
course.
like, oh, I'm quite beside myself, and he's screwing his head back on. That shit's hilarious. I love that. I don't really
Classic.
like Attack of the Clones in the movie that much, but that shit's hilarious.
You can't not love C-3PO's head on a battle droid body, just freaking the hell out.
Yeah, and R2 just scrambling around the battlefield. And like there's that moment where R like C-3PO wakes up beside R2 and he goes, I just had the most terrible dream. And R2 just looks at him like, really? You think that was a dream? Motherfucker, I was just
Yeah.
there for all of that. That shit was wild.
Yeah, you were losing your head, literally.
Literally, yeah. Go ahead, number three.
Number three. These are out of order for me, by the way. It's hard to rank. R2-D2 in the Citadel rescue on the planet Lola
Ooh, deep
Sai
cut.
in season three of the Clone Wars, leading his squad of reprogrammed
Oh,
B1
yeah,
battle droids
baby.
into battle for the Republic
Battle Droid
cause.
Society,
All for
baby.
one and one for a battle droid society, baby. As unnamed battle droid number 6324 says, all for one and one for all. Who
Hell
says
yeah.
asterisks can't be badass?
Good
It's a great
deep
moment.
cut. Great deep cut. I'm gonna switch mine, actually. I had one at number two and number one, number three. I'm gonna switch the two. So what was formerly my number three that I'm bumping down to number two for reasons you'll that formerly my number two that I'm bumping down from to number three for reasons you soon see. Three words, okay? Three words for you.
All right.
Burn, baby, burn, burn, baby,
Oh.
burn. R2-D2 burning those two super battle droids on the Invisible Hand and Revenge of the Sith. There's a cut of that that song, burn, baby, burn. It's so good, and I always think of it now as the burn, baby, burn moment. That shit is so wild. And like when you see R2 pouring oil on those droids, you're like, what the hell is happening here? And then he lights them on fire, and then he just continues about his business like the badass that he is. Absolutely, 100%, one of my favorite R2 moments. Gets me every time.
It's a great moment for sure.
All right, number
Absolutely.
two.
My number two. Wait, I've lost my multitude of. There we go. Number two moment, R2-D2 restoring C-3PO's memory in The Rise of Skywalker.
Interesting.
I
I
think
love the
it's a
fact that
really poignant moment.
you, I really love the fact that you have a rise moment and I don't.
Hey, look, hey, just because I think the movie is terrible and has no taste doesn't mean that and I'm definitely not trying to push y'all's buttons here, but just
I
because
mean,
look, just because I
Chris
don't
Swift
like the
does
movie
that
doesn't mean I don't
like
love
all
the
the time for
moments.
me, so don't worry about it. Don't
Yeah.
worry about it.
Eli, you love to push people's buttons.
Oh, I
I
do.
see you
I'm
off. I see you off
Oh,
podcast.
I don't deny
No,
that.
I
I
get to
don't
have my
not
fun too. No.
I
Not saying it's a bad thing. I get to have my fun too sometimes.
No,
But
absolutely.
yeah,
You
no, I
totally
think
get
it's a
to.
great
I
moment.
yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, I
I
think it's a.
actually have a moment. My number two is from your favorite Star Wars movie, actually, The Last Jedi.
Oh, I deserve that. I had that coming.
Yeah, you did. This is the most modern of all of them. Luke's on the Falcon and he's sitting around, and then suddenly he hears General Kenobi. Years ago, you served my father in the Clone Wars, and he sees R2 projecting the message. And he goes, that was a cheap move. And that's the thing that convinces him to train Rey, is the reminder of why he got into the fight in the first place. Because there are people out there who need help. And that was one of the moments when I knew that, at least in my opinion, that Rian Johnson had nailed that movie. Is I'm like, oh my God, you're doing this again? Oh no. I'm about to be a wreck. And I was, and I will admit it, but it was just a fantastic moment. And I thought it was just executed so well.
Absolutely. My number one moment Definitely the number one, even if the rest I didn't declare an order. R2-D2 and C-3PO meeting for the very first time on Tatooine in the Phantom moment, in the
I
Phantom
had
Menace.
considered that on my list. I actually didn't put it.
Now I love this moment because it's just it's such a small, it's a very small moment. It's almost so it's just blink and you miss it little sequence, but I think it's so weighty. It carries so much weight because of just you know how much it sets, you know how much it sets up emotionally, just for C-3PO and R2-D2 themselves. Also just knowing, you know, everything that's gonna happen for the Skywalker family, for Padme, for Anakin, for Luke and Leia, you know, even down the line for Rey and Kylo slash Ben Solo, you know, just everything that these two droids are gonna bear witness to, and you kind of feel that in this moment. And I really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a great moment. Mine for mine is like the image I first thought of when I thought of R2-D2. And it's not even really that significant of a scene, but I'm gonna put it as my background right now. And when Jacob sees it, and of course we'll say it for the people listening on audio, which is everybody, but what Jacob, when you see it, you're gonna have a visceral reaction to it. And you're gonna see, at least I hope you do. And you're gonna see why I chose it.
Oh yeah.
Our
Oh,
Leia
great
putting the
pick.
Death Star
Great fucking
plans
pick.
into R2-D2 sets off the entire saga, has only made more relevant by time. And just look at this image. Like, this is what I think about when I like this is one of the first images were ever presented in Star Wars, right after the Star Destroyer careening across Tatooine space. We get that image, and that is has become one of the most iconic images in the Star Wars saga. You know, the circular frame and Leia inserting the ship and R2 trusting the entire survival of the galaxy into this little droid. And that for me describes the fun not describe defines R2-D2 perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this image that you've just shown, the frame, the scene of her kneeling down, giving R2 the plans, knowing every going back now, you know, even watching this for the first time, I remember this was a striking moment for sure. But going back and see and seeing this, you know, this moment, calling attention to this frame. With everything that we know now, everything that we've seen in Star Wars, all of the journeys, all of the people, all the moments, this is the definition of a picture is worth a thousand words.
Oh,
It truly is.
100%. Yeah. And by the way, this scene is so goddamn iconic that it's been copied in Star Wars and was planned to a second time. If you remember, at the end of said episode that you were referencing earlier, Droids in Distress, Bail takes this exact pose with R2-D2 at the end on
He
elsewhere
does.
on the Tantive IV. And Leia was planned to have this moment with either it was R2, I think it might have been BB-8, I forget who it was one of the two, in Colin Trevorrow's Duel of the Fates draft. And there was even concept art made for an older Leia having that moment again. Now, I don't personally like the Duel of the Fates script that much. I think I just really don't like it. Oh, it's BB-8, but still the point still stands that it's so iconic that they copied it. They copied it once and they were planning to do it a second time before Trevorrow got the scrap. You know
That's
something's
actually
iconic
crazy.
in Star Wars when they start to copy it over and over again. You know what I mean?
Imitation is the sincerest form of
Yeah.
flattery.
Here's
It's
the
true.
image, by the way, from the
It's
Duel of the Fates
true.
concept art.
That would have been something, yeah.
I think it.
Really
I
would have.
think that was one of the final shots in the
And
film,
like
actually.
that.
So basically, the saga. The idea is the saga would have ended one of the same way it started, which is an interesting
That would have been
idea.
nice.
But like all the
Could have
ideas
been
surrounding
something.
it just don't like just don't do it for me. So that's where I am with
Yeah,
that.
fair
But
enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, so I think that's our episode on R2-D2. A great character. Next week, I think, is also going to be a special episode. I don't know exactly when we're releasing this, but I think we'll release this after the rematch. No, I don't think after the rematch. I think we'll release this after the rematch. I think we'll also release that after our stream. This after our stream. Hope you enjoyed both of those two things. This is being recorded way in the past, so we are probably going to. I can't see any reason why we wouldn't have a ton of fun doing that shit. Both of us are so excited for them, and we're Also, I hope you liked Epic Confrontations 11. That was 100 minutes of pure just love and, like, for trivia and, like, kayfabe and all that kind of stuff poured in by myself, by Alden Diaz, by Jared the Dark Jedi, by Mo, by Buck O'Brien, by Goose from Triad of the Force, and by our three incredible guests who we got. Oh, and by Scotty, of course, by Scotty Jiro, and by our three incredible guests we got. Another special shout out to Alex Damon, Ken Knapsack, and Benny Hamblin, who you might know as Brother Lomas. They were all so kind enough to record. The Ken and Lomas were kind enough to record cutscenes, and Olden was and Alex was kind enough to film an entire match with us, which I got to host Star Wars trivia with Alex Damon, and that's a sentence I didn't think I was going to get to say ever. It still, to this day, blows my mind, and it was filmed almost a month ago. And by the time this is out, it might have been 2 months, honestly. So so thanks to everybody who is a part of that. 11 was it was a fantastic time to record. I'm sure EC12 the rematch will be great, and then we got some great stuff coming up. I don't know if this has been announced yet, but next match after that is Jerry Cable versus Chris Ryans. They're both 1-0 in Epic Confrontations, and we'll see which one of them gets the second win. But I think that's going to be it for this episode. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at @InGalaxyPod, Instagram at Star Wars in a Galaxy. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts, we will be there. If not, email us at swingalaxy@gmail.com, along with any like trivia or fun facts or questions you have for us. We love to hear from listeners. Also, I want to give a quick shout out. I just realized this one too, because I don't know when this is coming out again. This is on by then, which I think it'll probably be out by then. We were recently invited by Keith and Kerwin Yard from Father Son Galaxy to be a part of their Bad Batch recap episodes. We were on for the 14th episode, Tipping Point, and we haven't done it yet, but I'm sure we will have loads of fun there. So thanks to them for all of that. And I think that's all the shout outs I got. Anything else, Jacob?
No, I think we're good.
All right. So until next time, may the force be with you.
Always.